This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Yak! And welcome back to one of your favorite podcasts that is out there. Yeah, okay, let's just stop here. It feels weird, doesn't it? You were kind of feeling the music, right? You were liking the music. You thought it was like, I don't know how I feel about it. But now you're like, this intro just doesn't have the pop that it should have. So you don't have the music for the intro. You don't have me yelling, yo, 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 yo. I just kind of did it, but I didn't start off like that. Honestly, without the New Orleans intro, I just really don't feel like I can even do this podcast anymore. Like, I just might be out. So I guess I'm going to have to talk to the person in charge of producing the content, which is myself. And when I'm going to have a meeting between me and myself, and maybe you guys should email me and let me know what you think. Because I got to get a good intro because I'm just not thrilled with the intro. And, you know, the yak intro is interesting, but it's the yak intro, it's not me. So I just got to give you me because you're here for a certain reason, because hopefully you like me, hopefully you enjoy me, and hopefully you enjoy your Drunk Uncle Sports podcast. And I am your drunk uncle, the one and only Anwar Richardson. And I said one and only like you guys were in reverence of me. Like, I'm here, people. I'm here to entertain you. Yes. Like, you guys, like, man, this dude don't shut up. Which leads me into a couple things. For first time listening to me, it's not how you normally hear me for the Ticket City podcast or anything like that. It's a little bit different. It's a little unfiltered, to say the least. Basically, it's layman's terms of saying I do curse. So make sure you listen to me at the most appropriate places. I just want to make sure, when I start dropping my F-bomb and you're listening to me, you're not at your kid's school. You know what I'm saying? You don't have me blasting in the car. And you know, mom is looking at you like, what the hell is going on? Because you're supposed to take her, you know, out to the for lunch, right? Don't do anything crazy like that. Be careful. By the way, in the background, I don't know if you can hear it, but I told you guys I got guinea pigs, right? So my wife has let these guinea pigs out, and it's like out of their... They have like this really nice, I won't even call it like a cage. It's like a house. It's like made out of wood and some stuff. There's a couple of levels. So there's a better name for it, but they're actually out now. And they now, since they're comfortable, start making these guinea pig noises, which, listen, I never had no damn guinea pig. So don't judge me because I don't know what the damn guinea pigs sound like. Okay. I'm learning this type of thing. I know what a dog sounds like. I know what a cat sounds like. I know what the damn song the damn guinea pig makes. But anyway, they're in the background. So if you hear guinea pig noises, just know it's part of Anwar's nature that's going on here. I got the guinea pig. I got the shih tzu. That's it for now. We're probably going to add in some other stuff in the new year. I mean, why the hell not? Why stop now? Speaking of, I don't know. Make sure I want to say, you know, I didn't really say it last time, but I definitely want to make sure I emphasize, Happy New Year to you guys. Hope you have a good one. Hope it's starting off better than last year. Of course, the other day, I had someone deliver some Tiff's treats for me and my son, and I just thought, oh, man, well, there goes those damn fitness goals. Shit, only 6 days in, and it's already a wrap for me, man. I can't wait for 2020. We'll get it there. And by the way, what's your drunk uncle drinking today? How about some Johnny Walker? Little old school right there. Yeah, some good Johnny Walker that I'm sipping on today. You know, your drunk uncle's got everything for you, so you got no worries. I'm here for you. Now, how's your weekend? Mine's, so let me tell you about my weekend. Had a really good one, actually. Really good one. So I don't know if you guys are in this world, but I'm in this world. And the world is of this birthday commune kind of thing. Okay. So my son just turned 6 years old over the weekend. Happy sixth birthday to my little man, Maximus. And But here's the thing that's really important to know about these birthdays, right? In order to have people come to your child's birthday, you have to go to their birthday. It is this weird system of you go to my kid's birthday party, I go to your kid's birthday party. You don't go to my kid's birthday party, I'm not showing up for yours. Like each hand has to wash it up because these kids, I mean, they're kids, right? The only way they can have any kind of relationships like this facilitated is through the adults. But you know how we adults are. We're like, man, I ain't got time on a Saturday to just sit here. Now I got to go and get a present. Now I got to sit here in another damn jumpy house that smells like a combination of cheese and feet, just pizza and feet. And I got to sit here and I'm got to worry that, you know, we don't get sick and all this other type of stuff. So, yeah. So it's really up to us to make sure these kids get to these parties and stuff like that. But you know how it is. It's like, man, you went to all the time and effort to throw a party and put something up for your kid. And then that person didn't show up. But then they send you an invite like 2 months later talking about come to Bradley's party. And you're like, well, screw Bradley, because Bradley didn't come to Max's party. So, and I hope there's no kid in Max's class named Bradley, because that would be really unfortunate. And I just pulled a random name out the air. All due and props to any Bradleys in the world. There actually is a Orange Bullets poster that did come to the party, and I never met him, but he's friends with my ex-wife's husband. Did you follow that real quick? Friends with my ex-wife's husband, the Sooner family, aka the people who I need to make sure I get full custody from if they're going to raise him in that type of dangerous environment. Yes, raise him. Selling drugs, just don't raise him as a Sooner. Or I guess technically if he's raised as a Sooner, eventually they will sell drugs, so maybe it's all one and the same. I don't know. They'll at least do meth. We know that. We got that covered, okay? Don't tell them that. Don't tell them I said that. I don't want to hear no shit from them. So we did a birthday party. It was really fun though. It was really fun. It was over at Urban Air. If you have a child in the Austin area and live up north, you've got to check this thing out. This thing was Mac Daddy. This thing was spectacular. This place, we need places. Like, they had zip lines in this thing. Like, it's, I don't know, maybe it's like 10,000 square feet was this place. It was huge. It's just huge. And maybe I'm even wrong with 10,000 square feet. Maybe it's bigger than that. I probably don't even know how to calculate it. Massive, amazing. They did a great job, fantastic job. Everyone had a fantastic time. And it's always good for my son, right? Because since my son's birthday, clearly it's on January 5th, right? He has to wait. He is like myself because, you know, my birthday is December 30th. We're the type of kids, we got to wait all year long for one really, really cool week, which you get to kind of squeeze in Christmas and the birthday. For my son, it's a little bit about, so you get like two cool weeks where he gets Christmas one week and his birthday another, and then that's it. It's shut down. Like, there's nothing. So right now, my son looks like one of my friends jokes with me, because whenever my mom comes to town, I'm going to talk Texas football in a second, but whenever my mom comes to town, she loves to take pictures. She used to take them out to Toys R Us all the time. Toys R Us clearly has closed. We've now switched to Target, and she buys him everything, and it ends up being a haul where it looks like a DEA agent standing over a bunch of drugs, and all you just see is a bunch of Paw Patrols, Thomas the Trains, and Transformers, and you just name it, that's there, and it's just him over it. All he needs is like the mask and the sunglasses so no one knows his identity. That's how badass it is. That's how much he rakes it in. And yes, that's what it really looks like now upstairs in his room. Because he's had a major haul, but he's incredibly happy. Of course, with that major haul, what happens, of course, at the end of the day, I'm going to get him my iPad. Okay. That was worth it. that was worth the hundreds of dollars spent, because you're going to get back on your iPod and get into Roblox or Minecraft or whatever the hell you're doing at 6 years old, because daddy's not monitoring you. I don't have time. And whatever you're getting exposed to at a young age, well, damn it. You need to learn. So it just is what it is. I hope for the best. And clearly, I'm semi-monitoring, but I literally have no clue what he's doing on his iPad. I'm just going to put that out there. But he only learned how to read now, so I feel like I might be okay. And then another thing I did, man, I watched those playoff games. Did you guys watch any of these games? Overall, I must say that playoff weekend, at least the opening weekend in the NFL, was boring. These games were just boring to watch, like the Indianapolis-Houston game. And I was like, we're still doing this. We're still playing. Like Philly and Chicago. I mean, it was, you know, you definitely wanted to watch paint dry at that point, or at least put some paint in your eyes. That game really was not that exciting. I thought Dallas and Seattle wasn't a bad game. Definitely good defense. Dallas is, I mean, their defense is great. I said it before. Dak Prescott, he's to me, he's Trent Dilfer, and people think that's not really an insult, but he's going to be the conductor to me of a really good Cowboys team that has an incredible defense. And as long as he doesn't make too many mistakes, I think they've got a shot to win it all. And then the last one was the Baltimore Chargers one, and that was just a feel bad for Lamar Jackson. You're going to take these L's. You talk about growing pains. Ooh. Well, that was painful to watch. Any notion that they should have gone to Joe Flacco is just absolutely ridiculous, forgetting that Joe Flacco is not that good. You got to stay with your young guy. You got to stick with it, man. But people always ask me these questions. One of the questions people always ask me, like, do you miss covering the NFL? And the answer to that is really emphatically no. Because, the games, like anything, the games are the easy part. Games are really, really easy. It's just the other stuff. But the NFL is such a... there's so many entities that you got to deal with when it comes to players and coaches, and you got to deal with the teams. And, I mean, college is somewhat similar, but the stakes are clearly higher. Major stories. It's just so draining over a 12-month period because you just have so many events that need to be taken care of, so need to be covered, that have to that require your attention. You're covering the playoffs, so clearly you're traveling to playoff stuff. Even if your team is not involved in it, you're going to have the Senior Bowl, then there's the Super Bowl, then there's getting ready for the Combine, then there's OTAs and off-season workouts. You know what I'm saying? Like how it goes on in mandatory mini camps, and there's the draft, and then you have those workouts, and it's just something always going on. Oh, and back, by the way, totally forgot, early part of the year is always going to be free agency. So, yeah, man, you tell me, hey, Onward, two signing days, and you're pretty much good. And you're going to have have some people transfer. You're going to have some people leave. But it's not going to be super, super crazy at all times. And you don't have to worry about an Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, those type of guys. Man, I'm good. I'm good in college. I'm good here covering UT. I'm good with this Johnny Walker, too. But, yeah, I don't miss it. I don't miss it. It's as much as I've been able to accomplish. And that was one of the appealing things with Catch Contact to me about the job, was just being able to start something new and start something different and see something different. And definitely glad I've made that decision. So just resigned. Last thing I'll say, when talking to Texas football, I signed another contract. What was it? Last year, sometime around March or April-ish or something to that effect. And, keep me here past 2020. And then after that, who knows? We'll see what happens. Hopefully we can end this thing on a great note here at Orange Bloods. But if not, man, I'm going to be the baddest Uber driver. I'm just joking with you. All right. Let's talk Texas football, because that's what we do. We talked about some other things, though. And those are sports related, so don't give me shit over it. But if we just toss a little bit of Texas football, we're still waiting. So interesting. We're still waiting to about Lil Jordan Humphrey and Brandon Jones and what those guys are going to do and what's their plan and what's on their agenda. And, you've got to believe, when I've talked to people inside the building, there was not a huge worry about Brandon Jones leaving and coming out early. If he did, and he does, it would be a real surprise to, I think, just about everyone involved. Like, no one's really expecting that to occur. The Lil Jordan one is a little bit dicier. And the fact that he still has not made a decision, it makes you wonder what's going on in his mind. Where is he leaning? What's his thought process? And I contend, and this will also get into one of the things that, you know, that I wrote about on Sunday, but you know, I contend, if I had a vote that mattered, I would say Lil Jordan Humphrey, if he wanted to sit down and talk to me, hey, drunk uncle, what should I do? Put down that red Solo cup and just give me some advice. My advice to that young man would be, you need another year. You just do. You know, because at the end of the day, like, Lil Jordan Humphrey is going to go into a draft where it's, first of all, it's loaded at receiver. Not a lot of guys expected to be taken in the first round. We'll see what happens. But loaded at receiver, and they're hoping, you would have to be hoping to become, you know, a third round pick. And again, we always, with this stuff, I always say it, guys, and you know I've been fairly consistent with this. When it comes to the draft and juniors coming out, what they normally hear is what their ceiling is. What someone tells them what their ceiling is, that's what they go by. They don't want to listen to or hear about the floor. No, they don't want to get low down to the floor. Because they can look at Deshaun Elliott and say, well, that's Deshaun Elliott, but that won't happen to me. They can look at Holton Hill and say, man, that's Holton Hill, but that won't happen to me. But what they're not looking at is what the floor is. And the floor is, look, this thing could go sixth round, seventh round, undrafted. And that's why I think it behooves him to come back. Because at the end of the day, look, Lil Jordan Humphrey, yes, he gets over 1,000 yards receiving. Lil Jordan Humphrey was really good. Like, not going to deny that. He didn't have a reception over 50 yards. And this is a guy that's not going to run a 4.5 at the combine or on his pro day. So at the end of the day, it behooves him to come back, put together another solid year, go for over 1,000 again, two good years of film, more to work with, and just don't leave the money on the table. Oh, that was what gets me some of these young people. And again, I'm not mad if you decide to come out. If that's your dream and you want to do it, fine. Like, that's your life. That's for you to live, and I'm not going to judge you. But don't leave the money on the table. You're talking about first-round money, kind of guaranteed money. The difference between $9 million and having maybe $600,000 to $800,000 guaranteed. Even if we're talking second-rounders, you still got some good guaranteed money. We'll see what happens with Lil Jordan Humphrey. You know, we still have a little bit of time before he has to make his decision. He has until January 14th to decide. Clearly, Colin Johnson has already decided that he needed to come back for his senior year. And I think that was always a good move, a smart move for that young man. He's a guy that I think is still developing. He's still growing. He could still use another year in the weight room and be able to become what I would say, you know, what this team really needs, what I kind of wrote about on Sunday: explosive receivers, explosive playmakers. Like, this is what the Texas needs to go up to the next level. Now, I want to make sure I qualify what I'm about to say, because when I said it on Sunday, I think people kind of read, they put their own spin on it, but they didn't necessarily hear what I was saying, right? I'm not saying that Texas needs to scrap its offense. I'm not saying that Texas's offense needs to resemble anything like Texas Tech. And I'm not saying that there aren't other things that Texas should be doing, performing well, in categories that they should be performing well in. They still should have a good offensive line. I'm not going to deny that. They should be able to win in the trenches. That's definitely not a point of debate at all, especially as relates to me in a discussion that you and I are having, right? But, there's this but, right? But, or we could say and. But it's important to know that you still need to have explosive playmakers on offense that just make it a little bit easier on an offense. You don't want everything to just be a struggle. You don't want everything to be a battle. Sometimes you want just the big play. the big play to happen. The University of Texas didn't have one play over 50 yards this past season. Not one play. Because the reason why I'm saying this, because as we get ready, you know, as I record this on Monday afternoon, and you know, without seeing the national championship game, my point of emphasis is this: in order for Texas to compete for a national title, they've got to have explosive playmakers. It's not to say they didn't enjoy a measure of success this year, but let's talk about areas that they can improve. Let's not make it seem like by talking about areas that Texas can improve, we are somehow slighting Texas, right? And making it seem that they're not good. No, they were very good this year. But like in anything that you're good, you could still have room for improvement. And that's where I talk about these needing these explosive playmakers, right? So once again, they did not have a play for over 50 yards this past season. And why it's relevant is because when I've spoken to people within the building, and even spoke to someone this past week, that's one of the things that they've said to me. And they're like, man, Andre, we have to be able to have these big plays and playmakers like the Oklahomas of the world do. And in fact, one of my sources told me that after their win against Oklahoma in the regular season, Tom Herman went to the staff and said, guys, we need players like that. And you say, because Tom Herman's an offensive guy. Tom Herman understands. He understands that, look, man, if drives and being able to kneel down at the end in victory formations, that's great. Being able to hold the ball for 12 minutes in the fourth quarter against Georgia, that's fantastic. But he also understands being able to just have a guy go on a dig route, 5-yard dig route, 10-yard dig route, and take it 70 to the house. Being able to have guys that could just take a hitch, you know, take a screen, something like that, or take a dump off pass and be able to take it to the house. Having that ability is also beneficial to one's offense. So doing my due diligence, right? I decided to look it up. The longest receptions from the Big 12 this past season, the longest runs from the Big 12 this past season, okay? All right. On that list of longest receptions from this past season, the longest reception by a Texas receiver was Devin Duvernay at 48 yards, followed by little Jordan Humphrey at 47 yards. That means that Devin Duvernay, his reception, that longest reception, was ranked 27th among longest receptions in the conference, 27th. Little Jordan Humphrey would be 28th. The guy who's number one, to give you a different example, right? So, okay, 48, less than 50. What else you got on one? Well, CeeDee Lamb, 86 yards. He led the conference. Hakeem Butler at 83. And then you had Marcus Sims from West Virginia at 82. Then go back to Oklahoma, you had Marquise Brown at 77. Hell, go back to West Virginia, and you had Gary Jennings at 75. And Texas, way on down here with the 48. And it was really, 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 really interesting. Because one of the things that they talked to me when I spoke to some people in the building the other day, right? They told me about that game, right? That Texas Oklahoma game, again, the regular season game. And one of the things they talked to me about was that the third down completion thing. I'm like, man, go back and look at how many third down attempts that they had versus what we had. And Texas had converted 6 of 14 third downs. And Oklahoma converted only 3 of 8 third downs. So we're talking about Texas had more third down attempts. Of course, they had more conversions. And Oklahoma scores 45 points by only converting 45. Excuse me. Score 45 points by only converting 3 of the third downs. What does that say? What does that tell you? Well, what that says and what that tells you is that the quick strike ability that they have is potent. And again, we're not saying that Oklahoma needs to have Lincoln Riley's offense. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what you are saying and what I am saying is they still have to just be able to every once in a while have guys who could just make other people miss, people who have that twitch in them, people who can just take a small a little something and make it into something major. Like, that's what's missing. Now go, you know, we just talked about receiving. Well, let's go into the longest carries and longest rushes, okay? So Darius Anderson from TCU had the longest rush of anybody in the conference this past year. He had a 93-yard carry, okay? To assume it was a touchdown. But that was his longest run, all right? Justice Hill from Oklahoma State, 92 yards. Okay, Kennedy Brooks, he went 86 yards. Jalen Reagor from TCU had as a receiver, but he had went 83 yards. Okay, let's just go down to where Texas is. Let's go. All right, and now we're down to Texas at Trey Watson and 39 yards. That's it. Longest run was Trey Watson's 39 yards. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? And even if you say, well, you know, you don't need certain things, you still want your running backs to be explosive. You still want running backs to be dynamic. You still want your running backs to be able to shed tackles and shed blocks. It's funny, like, because even as good as Trey Watson was towards the end of the year, because I think towards the end of the year, he started getting, you know, a lot better, a lot stronger. And he ran really tough against Georgia, like, not going to lie. Like, it was one of his better performances just from an eye test portion. But I remember there's one play where Trey Watson got to the edge, and I'm watching it in the press box. And, of course, you have, you know, the press box angle is different than the field angle. So watching from the press box and I'm watching the play unfold, I'm thinking to myself, uh-oh, Trey can possibly score. But he got caught, and he got tackled not too long after that because he has good speed, but he didn't have that breakaway, you know, hurt your mama type of speed where you're just saying, like, where the hell did this come from? And that's why, you know, from a development standpoint, I think that's one of the things that Texas has to worry about, or not worry about, but just make sure they focus on in the offseason. Second thing, one of the people told me that recently, I said, well, what does that mean as relates to the recruitment of Zach Evans? I mean, is he your priority number one, two, and three? But the response back that I received was he's priority number one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, and eight. Like, that's how much of a priority they think this guy is. And so because they understand the need to get playmakers in there, they understand they need game breakers. They just understand that it's, again, doesn't mean that there aren't room for improvement in other areas, but in this specific instance, in this specific time, it's talking about this specific aspect of the offense. If Jake Smith can come in here and add that kind of element, if Jordan Winnington can come in here and he can add that kind of element, something that they have not seen before, then yeah, we're talking about a team that if Texas can have playmakers, first of all, if Lil Jordan comes back, if Colin Johnson, obviously he's there, and then you add in these playmakers on offense with Sam Ehlinger, I am telling you the Big 12 is in trouble, and I am telling you that Texas has a hell of a chance to be in the CFP next year. Because they would have those playmakers that could really change the momentum of a game within a moment's notice. And I do know, and it's just, you know, so this is not just the world, this is Anwar just giving his opinion. It's what the people in the building want. It's not what I'm saying, and it's just my theories on life. This is actually what the people in the building want. They understand they want that type of playmaking thing. They want that explosiveness on that. They also want it on special teams, too. But they want that thing to happen because they understand the importance of it, and coupled with the importance of the defense, of course, and all other areas. But they understand that if they could add in that dimension of quick strike, the things that they have to fight Oklahoma against, with the offense that they already have, which is productive, coupled with a defense that they have, which is really good, the sky could be the limit for this team going forward. So we're going to see what happens and how that works out. But that's the goal. That's the plan. The numbers show that it's necessary. And then we're going to see how this unfolds throughout the offseason, because it's going to be one of the topics that not only I focus on, but probably going to be a couple other people that pick this up too. All right, guys. It's been great. It's been lovely. I got to get some music back. I got to get some music back in my life. Next time, later this week, the music's returning. Can't just be my voice. We got to do something else. Let me go check on these guinea pigs, and let me go ahead and store some of my son's birthday toys away. You guys have had a fantastic week. We'll talk soon. See ya.